Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to week two of the 2021 DFS season here in Swolecast.com, presented by BetMGM. BetMGM, you want to use the promo code GRINDERSBET and get $10 instantly, up to $200 instantly. Bet $10 to get $200 instantly. That's what it is.
Just knocking this ad read out of the park, Kitchen.
You can tell he's getting it right out of the way. And since we're doing that, just want to go ahead and say sorry to everybody, because Davis's pick last week was really, really bad. So apologies for everyone that bet their house, bet the mortgage, whatever else. Because Davis, who'd you pick last week?
I got rugged by Urban Meyer. I picked the Jacksonville Jaguars. Who'd you pick? You picked the Titans?
I don't even know that team anymore. I'm not even gonna say their name. But yeah, the team that played the Cardinals, I picked the over of that game, which was 51.5. And I am at this game thinking, oh, well, at the very least, the over will hit. And I don't think they scored a single point in the fourth quarter. So the final score is 38-13. So like all he needed was one more point in the whole fourth quarter and they didn't get it.
Well, let's get to the good stuff, Dave. Tell us about this after party. Who are you brushing shoulders with? I mean, what are we talking? Are we talking sliders, nacho bar?
Here's the thing. We talk a little about mental health on the show.
do we?
we do. But I just was in no mood to go to this after party after the game. I just was like, let's just go. Like, I don't want to go. I was in the sun and that team, they just destroyed me. You don't understand. When I get in the car and the Titans or the team's radio says that the player of the game from this team is Chester Rogers, and I had been hyping up D. Hember and Julio and Tanny and AJ Brown, and I was just at the game dead inside. I was completely dead inside. It was tough. I mean, you know, that's part of the brand. And so a piece of me died on Sunday.
You know what? You know how, like, you know, when professional athletes lose and they're still supposed to go shake hands after the game. And, you know, sometimes LeBron will go straight to the locker room and everyone says he's being a poor sport. This was you being a poor sport. You turned around and went to the locker room instead of going to that after party, keeping your head held high and being a team sport. Dave, I'm disappointed in you.
I know. I also didn't have a plus one. I didn't want to go in there and just be bombarded like, hey, soccer day. Like I didn't have the.
You literally live for that kind of attention, Dave.
What like literally, mean? that would have actually made you feel better. I think
it would have, to be honest. But also, like, we had six seats, but again, like I loved going to the game. I loved the person that I went to the game with, but. Why people choose to go to games, like, I want to do that just to see kind of the first game of the Super Bowl run for this team. And that's kind of why it also just, like, I was just upset. But why people go to games when I feel like I miss so much going to a game and missing like every other game because Wi-Fi wasn't working and everything else. So I was just tilted. I was on tilt for that first 3.5 hour span. Davis, listened a little bit to the Gilcast. Sound like you were a little bit on tilt as well.
Well, I was on death tilt for basically the entirety of the first games. Like, did the whole, like, I'm dead. What's the point? Why do we even do this? Like, did the whole thing. And then late swapped into a bunch of Tyreek Hill and had more money in my DraftKings account at the end of the night than I did at the beginning of the morning.
Hey, how things go? How things go with the FanDuel? Did you get them to match your deposit bonus?
Of course they didn't get me a deposit bonus. Obviously that, but DK did though. I emailed customer support and they gave me $1 for every $25 deposit bonus, which is.
Are you a DraftKings VIP?
I sure am.
Oh man. Well, do you have a verified crown on this DK social app? Probably not.
No, I do. You know where I am though, verified, but yeah, you know where I am verified, Dave? Twitter.com.
Yeah.
Verify the first member of the Swolecast to be verified on Twitter.com.
How did you get that check, Davis? Did you
tell us about
you're an entertainer on the form? What did you do?
Yeah, I said I'm an entertainer. I listed all the shows that I did with you this summer. I just used those and it just flew off the shelf. I was making dinner last night, checked Twitter, and I saw that the verified Twitter account followed me. And then I clicked on my profile and I was like, no way. Like it was a really great moment.
Why do I feel like you let out like a shrieking 13-year-old girl scream when you got
100%, 100% running around with my dogs. Like it was a great moment.
It's lit.
Yeah.
So how many times have you applied to the verification like program?
I mean, at least 10, if not more, at least 10 times. Now they've made it easier, I believe. Like, I think that they streamlined it. Like it used to just be like throwing crap at a wall. But the last time I did it, the process was different. And I think they're verifying more accounts now.
The fact that Peter said that, did you check entertainer, means that he has definitely applied recently.
I have it. That was an inside joke from something that Davis had DM'd me. But I was just going to say, Davis, I have never applied. How tilted would you be if I got in on my first application?
I would be so happy for you.
No, Davis is going to be happy for everybody now because he has his check.
Yeah, because I have it. So I would, it's like with PERS. Like, I'm not mad that anyone's buying a PER now. Like, I'm happy to join anyone into the club.
What an unnatural pump segue.
Yeah, we made it 6 minutes. I swear, every time, you know, Peter has this Discord, Club Top Shots, and he's got an NFT gang. And every time I go in there, which is maybe like once every couple of days, Davis is in there. Hey, what do you got? What do you guys got? What do you guys got? He is like an NFT head. It is so.
Dude, I've been minting, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm about it.
And now you're verified. So good things.
So now I have better access to pumping. Like I can, now that I'm verified, I feel like I can pump my bags a little easier in my Terrace Marshall bags.
With new I'm drafting aggressively. Great responsibility, Davis.
Yeah. All right. That's the only, we're not going to mention the Mooncats announcement about Sotheby's auction. This is the only NFT talk. Tuttle, you happy?
Oh, I'm allowed to talk now? Oh, my bad. I was trying to see how long I could make it. It's 7 minutes. 7 minutes, guys. Good talk.
Hope you're talking about talking. So, so you're happy, Tuttle. How was your week? You
he
gave a terrible
seem
take.
Happy.
No, I'm just chilling.
Tuttle's happy, like something has happened. Like good. Like
no, I was after like 3 minutes. I realized nothing was going to happen anytime soon, so I just started to put some baseball on. Was just watching some.
Yeah, you
saw getting my early sweat in. That was about it.
Yeah, we think that generally, like the first 10 minutes, you're just setting your lineups for the whatever the random slate is.
I'm not doing UCL. See, I was concentrating.
We have a soccer
today.
Slate. That's
yeah. I'm not even doing soccer today. I did it yesterday. I was going to be prepared for the show, ready to go.
Yep.
Just to get my time to shine.
Me too. I want to apologize. I thought last week I was super rusty as a host. We still got a lot of positive praise, but you know there were some comments from people that they don't understand the thesis of the show. So some guy was like, "Hey, 10 minutes of hyperbole. First time listener, 10 minutes of hyperbole is a bit much," which I thought. Wait over 12 minutes for something useful. This is from Nick Sky. This is a dumb show. I could have gotten the better analysis from my drunken buddies.
I mean, that's kind of the vibe we're going for. Is your drunken buddies talking about DFS?
Well, see, and this is interesting because Mike Honcho, who usually is
the giggle gang,
yeah, he actually put this is DFS entertainment, a completely different genre. Like he actually took up for us. So what is this? But yeah, hit subscribe, like, hit the bell notification, leave us some reviews. Appreciate everyone that listed that was like, hey, I appreciate all you guys do, even though I don't come into one guy said, I expect nothing coming into the show. I'm never left disappointed. And I thought, listen, if everyone came to the show with that kind of attitude, we'd have the best listeners ever. Also, some Brian Demain gave his terrible take of Melvin Gordon. So, Brian, you win the chat of the chat takes terrible.
What does that come with? What's the prize?
It comes with. Let's just give Brian a T-shirt. Let's give him a T-shirt.
That will never be shipped out.
Hold on. Big announcement. Cool producer Steve, cue the music. There's no music, but we have a new assistant, Danielle, and she is working through the backlog of t-shirt shipment orders. So
bless her soul.
Watch out. That's all I have to say. All right, so let's get into it because we're 10 minutes of hyperbole, and it's time to get right into the action.
Can I get someone at RG to comp me premium so I can actually look at RG's projections while we do this show? I realize I'm now blocked out.
Okay. I will do that. I will do that for you.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's see. Can Kitchen get this done end of day? Can he get Peter premium access done by end of the business day, 5 o'clock central time? Will Kitchen grant him access?
I guarantee you it'll be within 5 minutes.
Okay. Cause I have other projection sources, but I'd like to be a company man when I'm on these companies' airwaves. So that's my thought here.
Yeah. You're just DMing Ross. Ross is the man.
Of course, you DM Ross, he gets awesome. Back to you within 5 minutes.
Instantly.
He said, yeah, do you know his RG username? This is good. Yeah. Live radio.
I believe it's
Poverzet.
Yeah, and you got mad at me that it wasn't like Soccer Dave or whatever.
Well, like
cool.
It's usually like Pete Overzet, and it's like Poverzet. Like who has that? Is this your email address that you're using?
Please don't dox me, bro.
I guess it's better than FF comedy hour underscore.
Don't forget the underscore, please.
Okay. Speaking of Pete, let's get
guys.
Into...
Tuttle finally had a good tweet. Tuttle like what? Had like a tweet that's getting like lots of interactions. Kitchen will be jealous.
Let me see. I got a
problem. I pick my spots, but I have good tweets. I'm not Soccer Dave here.
Tuttle, you deleted
the Ricky D quote retweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
Do you want to say something, Peter?
No, I think it's pretty much speaks for itself.
Okay. All right. So let's go to the Overzet's overview for the week.
I forgot this is the thing.
Did you not?
How do you forget
notes?
This? Yes, Dave made show notes for the first time in 6 years.
This is like, this is unbelievable.
Hey,
first time we've ever made show notes with a rough outline, and Pete just shows up. Hey, pulling his best Matic right now.
I apologize. I think it's going to be a really interesting week. Lots of interesting pricing. I think there's going to be lots of different avenues DFS players can take while building their lineups. I think lots of opportunities to flip the build on kind of the chalk constructions. And, you know, we don't have quite as much value as we did last week, Dave. I think, you know, one of the big things, the story of the week was all these 3K wide receivers. The pricing is getting a little more efficient, and that's going to be tough for us DFS players, but that's why we play this game. We play it for these challenges. And I think today we're going to, you know, give people the answers to the test.
Shout out to Big Brain, Mr. Tuttle 05, for saying that there was one 3K wide receiver that was a big trap. You remember who that was, Tuttle?
Well, it turns out all of them were a big trap, except for maybe Rondell.
Rondell was decent. Oh, seeing Rondell in person it's legit unfair that him and Kyle are on the same team, by the way.
But I said De'Ami Brown, but Brown wasn't even owned, I don't think.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
but he did say he was the trap wide receiver. I heard that Davis played Marvin Jones Jr. last week. Is that true, Davis?
He was a good player. Yeah,
I just did what everyone did in cash.
Congrats on the suck out at the very end.
All right. I now have access to premium Roto-Grinders. Yep. Thank you, Ross.
Yeah. Did you get locked out of our Swolecast chat?
No, I just...
Is that why he didn't look at
He's just too cool for us. He's too busy.
He is. It must be his day job, actually, getting in the way of things this year.
Can I give you the honest answer? The honest answer is I now use this text service for all my chat hubs. But for some reason, however the Better Collective Slack is configured, it will not pipe into this. So it's like the one chat that I don't just have in my master interface, and I forget about it. Okay? That's the truth.
It's okay, because I had, you know, this is a time to turn over a new leaf. I had left a lot of notes for producer Cool Steve last week. Went back and watched the show, just had a download session yesterday in the office, also met with him in person.
This is a good hint of what Dave's day job is rewatching the week one Swolecast.
Davis, maybe don't talk about day job responsibilities. So anyways, I had this like document, like, can you just fill this out before the show? It's not filled out. Soccer Dave had to fill it out. So listen, Peter, you're not the only one. Cool Steve, get it together.
Wait, Kitchen, is this the guy that always has to get DM'd or added in the monthly chat to all you have to do is check done as opposed to undone? And every week it is at Soccer Dave, please mark undone to done.
No, that's a different one. Don't we bring in work stuff into this?
Okay, right. Maybe we could talk football now, though. I mean, I think the people that were mad that we didn't talk in the first 12 minutes.
Someone in the comments, just make sure to tell people 16 minutes in, we're talking about football. Tuttle, give us the overview. Give us the Tuttle's terrible overview of the slate.
Yeah, why wasn't Peter sufficient?
All right, quarterbacks. We'll move on. We'll move on to stacks then. Move on to stacks.
Tuttle, stacks before.
Who are some... Did you not read the outline either, Tuttle?
Okay, so last week, the kind of running joke, during the games was, hey, PMR is going to win, and it did end up winning, even though the afternoon games kind of looked like crap on paper last week. This week, they look pretty nice. Game stack, you have Minnesota, Arizona, Atlanta, Tampa Bay, Tennessee, Seattle, pretty much all those late games, Dallas, Los Angeles, all those late games are completely stackable. And it's kind of the earlier games that don't do a whole lot for me.
You agree, Davis?
Yeah, I think per usual, Tuttle hits the nail on the head. I mean, the one thing that you would be worried about heading into this week is that the ownership just like mega condenses on that Dallas Chargers game that we see, you know, like 35% of the quarterback ownership on Herbert and Dak, that you see 20% plus on Amari, on CeeDee, on Keenan Allen, on Mike Williams. But, you know, I don't know, you kind of think of those things every single week with, you know, the Chiefs, and it never happens, right? Tyreek is never that owned. Kelsey is never that owned. And you know, the fact that it is a later game, I don't know. I feel like people actually do the reverse with later games. Like they prefer to lock the guys up early a little bit. Like Tyreek,
not me.
It could never be. So, well, Kitchen, sometimes you're registering last minute and you're just trying to delay as many decisions as possible.
Give me the dummy lineup that I can just change later to the two late hammer games.
Yeah, I mean, that is my worry for this week is Dallas Chargers ownership. So we have, right now, we don't have it being particularly bad. We have Amari and CeeDee around 12%. Both are completely playable for those prices. And then same thing with Keenan and with Mike Williams. So if these ownership projections from Wednesday hold on Sunday morning, all my single entry teams will be permutations of that game.
Yeah, I mean, the CeeDee and Amari are definitely mispriced, but I think a lot of those other pieces of the game, and even the running backs too, I think people are a little spooked from the week one stuff. Eckler not catching any passes, Zeke looking atrocious. So there might still be some contrarian angles to play that game.
True. Cedric Wilson, Sizen?
What is his price?
I can get behind Ced this week.
Yeah,
3,100?
3,100, and it was a Thursday night game, so there's not really any excuse for the pricing that he had. I did see that Terrace Marshall.
Pump your bags.
I would never, but I figured that would give you the opportunity to, because apparently it's not Robbie Anderson season this year, Peter.
Yeah. Marshall out targeted Anderson. Anderson might be the odd man out here if that's how this continues.
All right. Any favorite stacks for you, Peter?
I like going back to the Bills this week. And I know it's not groundbreaking to say Allen to Diggs, but maybe you get a little bit of an ownership discount just because Diggs didn't do much week one. Josh Allen seems to be popping in the optimals as well. I don't know if I love the spot on the road in Miami, but they're just going to throw so much. I like going there.
Cool. All right. Y'all want to build a DK lineup right now then? Actually, no, we got to talk about quarterback. Sorry.
Rough
gotta
show.
Follow. We have to follow the order. Quarterbacks. Davis, start with you.
I mean, Dak and Herbert are the two guys I like the most. I wanted to get Tuttle's input on this. I am getting an absurd Tom Brady projection, and I even tried to tamp it down a little bit. Like I worked through some of our inputs, and I cannot get Tom Brady under 300 yards and 2.5 touchdowns. Like there's nothing I can do to his projection to dampen it. I mean, they have, obviously this absurdly high team total, 32.5 points, have them projected to run a lot of plays, also have them projected to be pretty pass heavy. Like it is what are you doing with Brady?
I mean, the only way you would get it down is if you shifted the split a little bit, just assuming that they're going to be blowout mode for a lot of the game, which is tough to do, obviously. I don't know. I mean, the matchup's obviously there. It's just after we saw what Atlanta did last week when they had the ball, it is kind of tough to see how they keep this game close, right? They just ran the ball a lot still. Didn't seem like they're in much of a hurry to try to come back in the game last week. So it seems like a blow. It's possible. I mean, otherwise, Brady's a good option, like you said. And he could go a bit lower owned because, you know, blowouts are tough to predict in all sports. And so if people are going to say, well, that game's going to be in a blowout, Brady's not going to play the fourth quarter, perhaps he goes lower owned and you play him in tournaments then.
The Bucks with the highest implied team total, 32.25. The next highest implied team total, the Browns. Baker looked good. They should have won that game against the Chiefs, I thought. But the problem is like the rushing touchdowns, right? Like you almost want them to not have a high implied or to be like the losing team because there's so many rushing touchdowns. It's going to mess with them. And I think Davis, you even mentioned that during best ball season.
Mentioned what?
Baker's like his his ceiling is not that high because there's so many rushing touchdowns, and it won't be Baker with those touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, when we saw what they did, they got inside the 10-yard line, and they immediately turned the ball. Like, they'd rather hand the ball off to Jarvis Landry than let Baker mess it up down there is kind of how I felt.
Russ, let Russ cook. The highest air yards last week. They're going to be at home against this Titans defense. The Titans defense they weren't that bad, but the offense left them in terrible spots, legit terrible spots.
Okay.
Okay, David.
We're coping on this Wolfcast today, apparently.
They only gave up 38 points. but like a couple of those were off of turnovers. Short side of the field, their average starting position, but this all kind of leads to when you give one player five sacks, like you're just not going to get the other team's going to get amazing starting position almost every time. So anyways, thoughts on Russ this week, Tuttle?
Obviously, like he's fine. The matchup's there. Target tree will still be concentrated, which is what we like with our quarterbacks who we like to stack. Tyler Lockett had the game last week. Metcalf salvaged with the touchdown. It's not going to go under the radar by any stretch, but obviously a great spot. The spot that I'll be interested in seeing is, like, do people think Arizona's defense is actually good now? And will that suppress Minnesota's ownership? So, like, I think we might not see, you know, Justin Jefferson maybe be very high owned on the slate, Adam Thielen. So that Minnesota passing attack interests me a little bit. They do have Osborne there now that throws things off a tiny bit just because he got a bigger target share than basically any other secondary weapons last season. So it's not quite as concentrated, but still like that. I think Minnesota could go a little bit under owned or overlooked on the slate.
On FanDuel, thoughts there, because Kyler looks like a guy that you is the locked in guy. Peter, are you playing on FanDuel?
I have not been playing on FanDuel, yeah. Mm-hmm. But maybe I should. Maybe I should.
Maybe you should.
The other guy too that we got to mention. I mean, Hurts. This might be one of the last times he's priced down here, right? Like led all quarterbacks in rushing. San Francisco just gave up a ton of points to Detroit. Like, I'm sold on the weapons. I think he could just have another monster game here, and might kind of get lost in the shuffle with some of those other game stack quarterbacks.
Yeah, I actually think Hurts is going to be basically forgotten about this week. Actually, you know, people will be like, oh, San Francisco, tough matchup, completely forgetting that if San Francisco gets up 20, that Jalen Hurts is just going to be eating up that good garbage time. So I actually really like that call.
Dave. All right, let's build a DK lineup. So DraftKings.com.
How did our lineup do last week?
I don't think it did too well.
Yeah, did we win? Did we win the Millionaire Maker?
Yeah, Peter entered the Moto, whatever it was.
the Modelo free roll.
The Moto.
Davis, do you enter free rolls? Like the large free rolls?
When I'm pressing the plus one button, I do, but
how rich, if you were if you were in the plus one category right now.
Before I bought a house, I was doing the plus one button. I have not plus one button in a couple months, but yes, right. that would be the only time.
Let me see. Okay. Let me see what kind of free rolls we're looking at this week, guys. All right. We got the draft time matchups presented by Miller Lite, 5K up top. Modelo, they're feeling flush. 5K,
yeah, Modelo,
NFL,
baby.
Beat the bus. I'm going to get
in. Beat the bus.
That's what we're entering this Wolcast lineup in.
Does that mean we have to beat Jerome Bettis or something?
That is right there.
Boom.
Nice.
Amazing.
All right. Let's start with you, Tuttle, since you didn't get any airtime the first 7 minutes.
So, trying to figure out if I want to blow my terrible take here or not. Okay. And it'd be at the QB position. Haven't talked about him yet. I'm gonna go for it. We're gonna go with terrible take of the week, Mac Jones, 5,400 against the Jets.
You want to stack him with someone while you're at it?
Yeah, see, this is the problem here. His receivers aren't necessarily priced down. So it's not all that fun. None of his weapons are. Hunter Henry's still expensive. Janu's expensive. You do have to pair him with somebody. Let's go Aguilar.
Okay.
What? This is what we're doing with our team?
Yeah, this is, remember, it's a cash team.
I am a little confused because we didn't used to tie in the terrible take with the lineup build.
That was not in the show notes, but I appreciate Tuttle incorporating it into the show. Yes, it's wait, the integration.
We just started this with Mac Jones and Nelson Aguilar.
It is. Okay, yes,
hold on. Tuttle's terrible take has utility now, basically.
Here, I have two. I can give one more terrible take, and we can decide.
No, this is save, it for, we're paying, save it for
we're
the
paying
end.
No. $5,400 for Mac Jones.
I like Mac Jones this week.
Davis, why is this the hill that you want to die on after all the bad lineups that we've had over the years?
Here's the thing. I do want to. I'll change. I have two terrible takes this week. This one is a guy that Davis played last week. He was a complete donkey for doing it with late swap. He played him over Jaylen Waddle.
This was bad.
This was super bad. But here's the thing. Cleveland's going to be able to do whatever they want this week. DPJ still ran the second most routes on the team. Yes, the targets are obviously weren't there last week. Schwartzart targeted him, looked a lot better than Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Well, I would not say that. It's not like Anthony Schwartz looked like Calvin Johnson. Like he almost
he's
insanely fast and he's 21 years old, but like, let's not overstate it.
Yeah. But still playing Donovan Peoples-Jones last week was a fish move over Jaylen Waddle, but it's also a fish move probably to play him this week. But here's the thing. Nobody's going to play him this week. He's 3K again. Cleveland's going to be able to do what he wants. We've already got Odell announced out. He's going to be the guy who runs the second most routes on this team. It's worth a shot.
Okay. But we're not putting him in this lineup.
Yeah, I was confused. I was like, have we started with Mac Jones to Aguilar with
no, we're just going to we're going to do
plus Jones.
We're going to do DPJ.
Okay.
Is the only guy in right now.
Gotcha.
Oh.
I stick with the Mac Jones take though too. So I can have two terrible takes this week. I'm fine with it.
Oh, it's just that was a disorienting journey.
It was. So now we've gone all that way to have Donovan people DPJ in the lineup.
I like this as a bounce back take. He played a lot of snaps.
Okay. So does that mean you want Tyrod on your team, Davis?
No.
Okay. All right. Who do you want, Davis?
I would like Dak Prescott and I would like Dalton Schultz.
Oh, wow. Gross.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was the one
who was supposed to have a terrible take here.
And now
this guy gets a check and the analysis falls right.
He's sold out. Pumping his Schultz bags now that he's got a check.
So our lineup right now is Dak, Donovan Peoples-Jones, and Dalton Schultz.
This is
a bad lineup.
This is pure.
No, dude.
What's Davis's selling point other than he's going to say leverage off of the other passing game?
It's options. Not even leverage. He got stuff specifically designed for him when they were on script last week. And either there will be more targets available with Gallup gone, or there will be a greater opportunity for them to play 12 personnel. I don't think there's a huge difference between playing Schultz or playing Jarwin, but I guarantee Schultz will be the less popular play. And also he doesn't take up a wide receiver slot.
I mean, yeah, what were his snaps like in the second half? That's what I would wonder, like, compare, because he did have, like, he did start.
I can't break it down for you by half without taking some time, but he played 68% of the snaps and Jarwin played like 35.
All right. That's gross, Davis. We were going to have like a concentrated offense.
We're taking too long on this team. We got a lot of positions left to talk about.
We should just play Zeke instead.
You could have pumped CD, or Zeke would have been a much better play. Much better play.
I don't like the way that he interacts in game stacks with Zeke, because if Zeke has a good game, it pretty much means that they're either losing by a lot or winning by a lot.
Why?
Because if he's getting a bunch of touches when the game is competitive, it means they're going to lose. And if he's getting a bunch of touches in the second half, it means that they're up by a ton and that the bring backs are not that good.
So Zeke can't be in a game that's close and have a good game.
He can. He just doesn't correlate well with Dak.
Okay. All right. I understand that. All right, Peter.
All right. We'll just bring it back with Keenan. We got to get one good play in this lineup.
I was waiting for you to say we're going to bring it back with Donald Parham.
Popping in the PSM, bro.
All right. So we got some money to spend.
First time Dave has looked at salaries this week.
Yep. No, I have not.
I know you haven't.
100%.
Well, I kind of still want to add Amari just as the super stack. So I'm going to add
cash lineup super stack. One of the,
I mean, Amari probably going to be the most owned wide receiver in cash this week. I think.
How many targets does Amari get this week?
11.
13.
Tuttle, how many targets does Amari get? Say 12.
Wait. Do the Chargers have a good corner?
It's too late, Davis.
I gotta start spreading
you
the blood.
Prepared. You should have prepared. You should have put it on the show sheet.
Wide receiver cornerback matchup chart.
Would have been a good bit if you prepared for it.
Yeah, would it be nice. All right, so we have two running back spots. And
aren't you scared of Chris Harris, bro?
Yeah, okay.
In the slot.
They changed the way the matchup chart works. I don't get to see the guy's name anymore.
Wait, right. Chris Harris, the one that used to be on the Broncos?
Yeah, we got Michael Davis, Chris Harris, and Asante Samuel.
Bro, aren't you? Oh, people know who Asante Samuel is, right? Because he was on the Patriots,
well, he's
right?
Old, yeah.
Aren't you worried about Davis. Asante Samuel, bro?
Davis, give us a running back.
Daryl Henderson?
I knew you would say – I almost put him as the cover boy because I knew you would want to play him.
I love how we somehow got a moon cat on the Swolecast cover today.
Oh, did we?
Somehow. Don't know how that happened.
It probably is because of the Sotheby's auction and the floor is double.
Aren't you scared of Sony Michel learning the playbook though?
Probably the worst take that Egg Twitter has ever had is that Sony Michel just needs to learn the playbook. Like it's hard to learn how to run the football. Like,
yeah. But just, didn't Henderson have like a really bad 3.5 quarters and then kind of like put together the very end?
No, not at all. Did you not watch?
Yeah, I watched them like air it out the first.
He sucked out a little quarters. Bit.
He sucked out with a 1 yard touchdown. But the thesis behind the Sony play was that he was going to get the 1 yard touchdowns and he didn't.
They just like, I feel like they took their the foot off the brake there at the end and they ran him. He got like a bunch of 10 yard gains at
the
end.
Yeah, they're going to be like the Chiefs and the Cowboys where the running back on weeks where they just score 30 all via passing touchdown, there's not going to be that much left on the plate for him. This is
such a gross lineup. All right.
We're 30 minutes in, we're not done with the DK lineup.
Yeah, this is a record for us.
I wish I had somewhere to go at 3:30 today.
Yeah, guys, I got a hard out. You know what I really want to do? Can I do this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I do whatever you want.
Just do it.
I'm going to own the libs with Austin Eckler not getting any targets last week and including him in this game stack.
Oh, right, dude, is
full
he
on super stack?
No, is he is he actually the galaxy brain bring back and he gets 8 targets this week and it was just a one game thing because of the hamstring? I love that play 100%. Total. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's so good.
All right, so if we pay up for Bucks D, that leaves us with $6,000 in flex.
So we can't say who it is, but
Schmantonio Schmown.
Yeah, actually, I would probably go with Schmazi Schmaris and then just go down a little bit.
I don't know who Schmazi Schmaris is.
You don't know who Schmazi Schmaris is?
Oh,
dude, it'd be the chalk this week.
I don't know if you guys heard, but Schmazi Harris played every one of the snaps.
Pete, what is Najee going to be owned in the spy this week? The big spy.
Dude, it's the classic like sharp guy thinking they're buying the dip, but actually it's going to just be mega. He'll be what? 28%?
I was going to say like 30 something.
Yeah.
All right.
Because the normies loved him to begin with, and now the sharp guys have the snap data, so it's like the coalescence.
All right, who is your running back core this week, Davis?
Najee and Henderson are the two best running back
cores. That's it.
I mean, they are in like the value formula that we use. They are not even close, the top two.
Well, yeah, like, well, We've got Mixon above Henderson,
which is totally reasonable. He just costs $1,300 more on DraftKings.
Yeah. No, we don't. Not from point per dollar.
And yeah,
I was using the RG value, and the value metric has Mixon as second one.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The and Harrison Henderson definitely showing up in the most optimals.
Harris is
100% of optimals.
Harris is in 100% of ours too. I need to look at this again. Another guy whose projection I tried to FUD, but Chris Carson is also coming through.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
I destroyed his projection. Like I mean, I didn't destroy it. I just made it as reasonable as I possibly could. And he is just steaming as a value.
Hey, you know who looked really good last week? Chase Edmonds. He got any sort of goal line touch, like, he would be so good. Connor did not look great. Like, he was like the one Cardinals player that did not look good against that team. And Chase Edmonds is 4.9K. So that team is.
He's nice because you can play him with Kyler and use up a running back slot, which is nice. Okay. I want Tuttle's take on this. Do you think either Trey Sermon or Elijah Mitchell is a sharp GPP play this week?
Sermon could end up being a sharp play. But I don't think Mitchell's going to, like, I still don't think Eli Mitchell's going to come in like tremendously high owned where you have to necessarily worry about getting leverage off of him. But that's to speak that it would not be surprising if Sermon is active and acts as 1A in the backfield.
Henderson just feels like a trap amongst all those backs. Sorry, Davis.
I do think he's an easier fade than Najee. I think he's a good play based on week one usage. I do think there is a possibility that we should not extrapolate week one's usage across the rest of the season and that Michelle does see a larger role. That's the thing. Like Najee Harris, there's not going to be a guy that comes in and sees a larger role.
Michelle
until maybe Anthony McFarlane comes off pup.
Hot take. Sony Michelle will play more than one snap this week, which is what he did last week. But that opens it up to, does he play 30%? Does he play 40%? Does he play 10%? Yeah. Because I think – so right now I have him for about 20%. I have him for about 20% of the carries and about 4% of the team's targets, which, again, is much greater than what he did last week. And obviously that's a sliding scale, but I think Henderson would still be a play even if Sony played 25% of the running back touches.
Yeah, he's still too cheap.
I mean,
all right, go ahead, Peter.
I was just going to say, like, I'm willing to fade all of these running backs and GPPs that are, like, none of them, maybe outside of Mixon, whose role looks so, so good. Like, all of these could be trappy.
I'm going to play Najee regardless.
Yeah,
I probably will too.
He's locked in. It is wild, though, to see Zeke at 6.2. And if you get your hand in the dirt, Peter, and you put those work gloves, those hand-building gloves on, tell us what you saw in last week's game film.
For Najee?
No, for Zeke.
Zeke.
Oh, for Zeke. He looks like absolute dust. I mean.
No, he does not. He does not look like dust.
He does.
He's not.
They had to bring him in to block.
I'm sad that I'm more with Dave here. Like the whole timeline was just absolutely shitting on Zeke. And I'm like, he doesn't look that bad. He's just
Dalton Schultz doesn't mess up that block on the cornerback and Zeke walks into the end zone, no one has these takes.
No, yeah.
They had to leave him in to block because Dak would have gotten destroyed if not.
I'll walk back. I actually don't have a film take on Zeke, but it is massively concerning that how much they're willing to use Pollard. And it's gonna be more like, it feels like Zeke could have like the Derrick Henry kind of year, but with less explosive plays, but just more touchdowns, where it's like he front runs those games and has some big ones, and then just has others where it has zero floor for you. Like, he's not giving you the Najee floor this season.
This is becoming a bit, it feels like, because last week you said that Joe Mixon was going to have the Derrick Henry type of year where you want to play him when he's not going to be owned and fade him when he is going to be owned.
I might have to walk that back after his usage in week one, but we will. Let's get
it. I wasn't going to bring it up because it's a forward thinking show. All right. Any other under owned running backs or even FanDuel type running backs that you like this week, Tuttle?
Not FanDuel type, possibly not under owned, but we haven't talked about Alvin Kamara yet. And he's just going to have a monster role with this team.
Well, that game is going to be Carolina and New Orleans.
17 touches in the first half when it was even remotely close.
Yeah. So we know Tony Jones is going to be the backup, but he's not going to have as big of a role as Lat Murray has had these past years. I mean, Kamara's going to have 20-plus touches on a pretty regular basis, it seems, as long as the games stay close. He's an awesome play.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any Rojo love before we move on, Davis?
Stop, Dave.
Okay,
dude,
all right.
On. It's too painful, bro.
Okay.
Pete, how about this? How about this? Pete had to draft him onto a team he paid $1,900 American dollars for because his co-owner is Patrick Crane after that game.
After that game had been played, and he had negative 0.5 points.
It was so funny because we were at, you know, ignore running back for most of the draft. We're in the 13th round and time to start getting some running backs. And we're just looking at what's available. And Pat's like, should we do Rojo? And I'm like, yeah, but you have to say it out loud. And Pat literally goes, running back Ronald Jones. Like just complete capitulation.
Do you think he would have gotten drafted in the 13th round had y'all not have drafted him? Or do you think he might have fallen?
No, that's where he ended up going. Most of the weekend was 13th and 14th round. I still think it's I'm happy with him there. I don't know if you heard, but Bruce Arians said he's the starter, Dave.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, but he fumbles one time. He's done. He's already done for the rest of the season.
No, he's already done. I have never seen a bigger lie than Ronald Jones as our starter.
Keyshawn Vaughn plays last week. Keyshawn Vaughn plays last week, and the game's not even close.
Here, Peter's take here. Ronald Jones rips off a 50-yard TD run this week. Clip it, producer, and don't post it if I'm wrong.
All right. Let's move on to wide receiver. And we talk about these offenses that have these concentrated targets. Cooper Kupp. Obviously, like how owned is Cooper Kupp going to be this week, Dan?
Dude, on FanDuel, on both sides, really, but he's so
Woods
cheap.
On FanDuel, I thought maybe even, but you could play them both, probably.
No, he's the guy that you got to talk about. Robert Woods' usage was very concerning. Out, Van Jefferson ran more routes, didn't see as many targets, but ran more routes. Woods was like,
I almost feel like they like gave Woods a bone there at the end just because they had been targeting Kupp so much. But that's a big time hand in the dirt take.
Yeah, well, I mean, he only ran a route on 19 of 28 route. Like that's not good.
He ruined my fourth quarter flash drafts. Absolutely ruined them.
Bro, I did flat. What was the game that I did flash drafts? And they kept putting Buddy Howell in there.
Yes, that was the game.
I was like, why is Buddy Howell an option? Why are people picking Buddy Howell?
And every time it's an option, I thought of you, like the Tuttle probably drafting him as his contrarian play. But yeah, he's not even because I started playing because David Montgomery, I thought like broke his finger. So was not going to play in the fourth quarter or whatever. And Buddy Howell is like on every single one. I did not understand it either. Anyways. All right. Wide receivers, Pete, who do you like?
Yeah, we mentioned the Cowboys wide receivers. I think all the Bucs wide receivers too are in play. Evans probably a really nice GPP play after being the odd man out last week. I mentioned Diggs, who I like. I also like going back to some of those popular wide receivers last week that didn't quite hit, like Justin Jefferson. I think Tuttle mentioned him earlier. If people are, you know, for whatever reason, gravitating toward Thielen chasing those touchdowns. And we had the injury model last year where you were always getting the ownership on guys coming back. How about the Will Fuller suspension model coming back? At
absolute biggest smash. Tuttle in our other secret chat was making fun of me for saying he was egregiously priced, but he is such a smash.
I still will. Like, look at, you're calling him egregiously priced when Cooper Kupp's $400 more than him. It's not an egregious pricing. It's just that Will Fuller is one of your guys.
I haven't looked on FanDuel yet, if I'm going to be honest.
It just, I will say he does come in a nice range on.
It's just DK a good. It's just a good. It's just a good roster construction range for him.
But I still would probably take like a Ja'Marr Chase. I think
that's fair.
Yeah, Chase is $5K.
Chase is going to have way more ownership than Fuller. Mm-hmm.
It seems
people hated Fuller on Best Ball.
Yeah, they did.
Are you an absolute fish if you play a running back in the flex spot this year? It seems like there are so many wide receivers.
Always wide receiver in the flex.
Just looking at it, it is it's insane. All right, who's your favorite wide receiver of the week, Davis?
Fuller. Right? It's got to be. We believe in the Finns. I mean, my favorite wide receivers are Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, but that's like not. That's every tout's answer.
If you don't play CeeDee Lamb this week, Davis, in the spot that he's in, and the CeeDee Lamb guy that you are, I will be severely disappointed.
I mean, it's not like you're challenging me to something that I like don't want to do. Like, obviously, it's very easy for me to click the button on CeeDee Lamb.
I bet you won't.
All right, bet me a fractionalized Mooncat. I won't play CeeDee Lamb.
Davis.
Hey,
Davis tried to front run the Sotheby's auction here.
I'm surprised Davis hasn't like recommended a receiver. It's like he's like the wanderers of the DFS space.
There are no
CeeDee Lambs.
There is nothing in NFL Daily Fantasy that makes me feel as good as looking at a wanderer does.
We like the art.
Davis, as a skateboarder and an NFT enthusiast, did you go after the Tony Hawk drop yesterday?
Of course, and I sold it immediately.
I got just
the first one.
I still have not gotten
one of those drops. Like
I got one of his and one of the I don't remember if it was Osaka or who it was, but I got one other one and sold it immediately.
2x, 3x? What are we looking at?
Yeah, like 3x. I mean, it's not like I only got Davis.
Let's move to tight end, guys.
Yeah, let's move on. If you want Davis's.
I wanted to drop a Cortland Sutton take real quick too, but we can just move that in.
I'd like to hear it.
I want to talk about maybe somebody else.
You want to talk about Tim Patrick because everybody's going to talk about Tim Patrick.
No, he's gonna be not the Tim Patrick. Rivals. Although he is pretty a guy who is dirt cheap, who might be the most viable one other than Terrace Marshall, is Bryan Edwards.
Man.
Yeah, not really that interested in that.
You don't like it?
People seem to forget that he sucked out big time.
He literally sucked out.
Was 60 cent reading Greg, and Gretch actually said you can't play him right now because of Waller's usage. But if you got a guy who's leading the team in the wide receiver who's leading the team in routes ran, and he's 3.7K. I think you have to put them a little bit, like maybe like 10% in your hand-built models.
Your hand-built models.
Like, so 10% in your 20 models. You're taking like 2 of 20. Davis, don't talk down to me because you're verified now. Don't you dare.
You've become too much a man of the people. Like you've become too much of just like the guy who plays $12 on DraftKings on the weekend when you're sitting on the couch like with your daughter. Like you've taken the man of the people thing too far.
I represent the man of the people now. I play more than $12, but I mean I still get invitations to the DraftKings VIP parties for now.
And we're happy for you. Let's do tight end, because this is what the people need to know. Is Tyler Higbee going to rug us, Dan Gasper?
What?
His role won't change, no. But I don't. He played. Like, he doesn't.
If we want to tout Najee Harris, he played every snap. So, they ran a tight end screen for him. They did the whole thing.
they ran one screen for him.
Higbee's going to be the most popular tight end on the slate by a lot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
On DK.
DK, yeah.
On FanDuel. No, he won't be.
FanDuel, it's automatic. There's a guy.
Well, FanDuel, when you price, like, what, CeeDee Lamb's, like, 6,800 or something. Yeah, but FanDuel, when you play CeeDee Lamb at 68, Cup at 6,200, you can just play Darren Waller.
You can just play Waller. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Waller's the guy. And even like on DK, like, do you think because of that price tag, it's like the Kelce Kittle role we've seen in the past where people don't play him that much because of the price range of tight ends going from, you know, 3K to, it's a big bump.
Yeah, probably not, though.
Would you play him, Davis?
On FanDuel?
No, yeah. On DraftKings. On DraftKings.
If I was doing a different game stack, like if I was doing Tuttle's thing of playing Mac Jones or whatever, it would probably be in an attempt to play Darren Waller.
If you started your lineup with Mac Jones, Aguilar, and Dalton Schultz, you had a double tight end.
Yeah,
sounds good to me.
I need to put that in the Millie Maker because that's the kind of thing that hits, and then we just hate ourselves for the rest of our lives.
I hope it hits this week.
Speaking of tight ends, I just saw an alert from Yahoo Sports saying that Firkser has gone from healthy to questionable. So,
Ooh, big news.
Which definitely means Dave is still holding Firkser on like his 12-team home league or whatever, which is, I mean, it's just very on brand.
All right. To be honest, it's the SiriusXM Fantasy Insiders League, and I never even drafted it. It was the auto draft, but I still get alerts based on who is on my team. It's the like only notification I got while at the Titans game was – Adam Thielen's in the red zone right now. And
wow, amazing story to wrap up the show. Good job, like, guys. Really good stuff.
Hey, Davis. It is not
so Noah Fant also in play. Kyle Pitts also in play.
Dude, isn't Noah Fant an amazing or not Noah Fant? Isn't Kyle Pitts an amazing buy spot this week?
I don't know about that.
I mean,
that.
Everyone's saying that.
We have him projected to be owned on 6% of teams. Yeah, he's expensive.
I mean, isn't there's real implosion risk to the Falcons in this game. Yeah. And they already just showed that they're not willing to pass
to go
when they're
full
down.
Lions.
Yeah. Like it. Yeah. I mean, that's what's so concerning about them. What did they have? Two runs on 3rd and 8, another one on 3rd and 9, like just completely rolling over. No garbage time potential, and they're going to get smoked here. But yeah, I mean, Pitts's usage was good. I think if you get an ownership discount on it, like if he is in that 5 to 6% range, that sounds nice. RG has it at 10% now. He might become the like popular contrarian play that's not actually contrarian.
Both JJ mentioned it. Ben Gretsch with his Stealing Signals newsletter mentioned this guy, Adam Trautman. He is dirt cheap at 3K.
Played like 85% of the snaps and ran like 3 times more routes than Juwan Johnson.
He had 75% of dropbacks. And yeah, so he might be the under-owned guy. All right, real quick, let's build a FanDuel lineup and let's just go through it. Let's blow through this puppy.
All right, Mac Jones.
Oh, yeah.
No, let's do Brady.
This is the most excited Tuttle's been in like the whole.
Oh, give Tuttle a Mac Jones team
and pair him with Aguilar.
Mac Jones is even worse on FanDuel because you don't need the money.
That's true.
That's true.
We're playing Brady.
No. All right, I know I said blow through it, but.
All right, so Brady.
All right.
I'll take
Brady.
Kyle,
who you want to pair him with?
Back.
Brady and Pitts.
No, and Evans was the.
Yeah, Evans for sure.
Yeah, I love that.
Jesus, he's 6,700 on FanDuel. What are they doing?
They did a good job with the prices this week.
All right. So who do we bring back?
Kyle Pitts. We already did it.
Pitts, yeah.
Trying to blow through this and Dave can't even keep up.
Kitchen's like still trying to get on FanDuel.
Hey Davis, I need to say this to you. It literally does not cost anything extra for you to be nice.
What does it cost to be verified though, Dave? How much would you pay to be verified?
Apparently 10 tries. I haven't tried in probably 5 or 6 years, but apparently 10 tries. And okay, so I bet you were lying. You were lying on that number, by the way.
Can we get What do we think? Let's just do it. I want to get a little Eli Mitchell in here.
Okay, I like it.
5,800 free up some $5,800
on FanDuel.
Yeah, I mean, we need to save salary on FanDuel. Where
I want to let Dave, you know, shrug and say Christian McCaffrey as he puts him into our lineup here.
First time we said Christian McCaffrey's name, 57 minutes into the show.
Yeah, yeah, we got. I mean, we kind of have to, right? Kind of have to play him, either him or Kamara.
And then we play Donovan Peoples-Jones.
We'll go with C-Mac.
All right, Tuttle.
Let's go Diggs.
Love it.
Yeah, good little spot to buy the dip this week with the Bills, I think. All right. I want CeeDee Lamb.
Remember cash game lineup here.
Yeah.
What defense are we doing? So we know what we're.
Yeah. Let's see.
Jets.
No.
Jets.
Jets is the best cheap defense, even though Mac Jones is going to show out.
All right. So, I don't know. We throw Ja'Marr Chase in this.
Najee Harris is 6,100.
Ivy Twitter is coming after you, Pete.
Dude, Ivy Twitter is ruthless. And you know what I kind of realized is I am part of Ivy Twitter.
You're like reverse Ivy Twitter, though.
Yeah, I mean, Leone just trying to get off his Ja'Marr Chase tweets without factoring in any context whatsoever, like Ja'Marr Chase not having to compete with a man who had to get an IV.
Oh, true. Really?
Yeah, T. Higgins left her.
I didn't know what IV Twitter was. Either. I was trying to figure out like
I mean, imagine going to an NFL game in week one and just missing out on all of the contextual information that's going to be on your Twitter all week.
Tuttle did not get it either. Mm-hmm. So
no, yeah. So Higgins missed a decent chunk of the game with the IV, and Leone was trying to victory lap his kind of Chase takes. And us Higgins over Chase bros, who are now rebranded as Ivy Twitter, went after him.
Okay, got it. All right, we got the inside joke out there now. People understand what it is. We got the lineup.
Honestly, this lineup's not even that bad.
No, I'm
especially if you put Najee Harris there in the flex, it's really not that bad.
I'm tossing in the FanDuel 4 Loco free roll.
Don't do me, bro.
All right,
going to be actually looking for that out there now.
Ricky Beers says Swolecast. Okay, let's move to tight end. Also Swolecast gives up zero tight end picks. And then Smiz says, when do we talk about the purrs and the toads? Also, are
Smiz have purrs?
Smiz has, well, he had purrs. I don't know if he does still.
He says please talk about the most undervalued historical project, the Mooncats. No, Smiz, we are not going to do that. Stop. First on-chain generative artwork project. No, we'll not talk that.
Dave, we've moved on. Like, that is, there's so much else going on, and you're just anchored in the Mooncats.
Yeah,
past,
dude.
Holding on. There are like two 2017 projects. One is CryptoPunks. Okay, cool.
You guys have a good day.
I love how tilted Tuttle gets. He did not want to talk any NFTs.
I wanted.
He's like old, you know, like the Bitcoin maxi of NFTs. Like, you are holding on to stuff that happened like 9 years ago in crypto you're not out here minting groupies.
I will not do any more profile pictures except for the gauntlets that I have, but it's all Mooncats.
I will not do any except for the ones that I've been doing.
No. I just have two gauntlets and that's it. I will not do any more profile pics. I've consolidated pretty much everything into Mooncats. It's like 95% of my portfolio is Mooncats.
Why don't you leave too, so Davis and I can talk about the peaceful groupies that we need to pump right now.
Yeah. I mean, we don't even.
Davis was so mad.
We don't even need to pump them. They're pumping on their own.
I went into the room and Davis was like, oh, kill me now. Crypto dads are up to 0.75.
I love the crypto dads, dude.
I thought you were joking when you said you love those, Davis. The art is horrible.
I love the art, dude.
It looks like
also,
first Davis draft of Bob's Burgers.
Exactly. Davis also sold Bitcoin last week.
Not Davis? Technically true.
No, someone, you did. You did. Someone you sold Bitcoin.
Someone paid me for part of a main of event in Bitcoin, and I transferred it to ETH to mint on-chain monkeys.
It does.
You said that was such a straight face.
You had me till the end, like I was about to come back with something, and then I didn't even have to. All right. So what was Toto's terrible take since he's off the show?
Mac Jones.
Oh, yeah, Mac Jones. All right. Love how mad he gets. He's like he's moved from dad to granddad of the show. I think I'm the dad of the show now. All right. Let's see. Leah Murphy says, love this show. When I bink the Millie Maker, first thing I'm doing is thanking the Swole cast. So appreciate that. And then on our podcast review, Legit Funny, one of the funniest podcasts out there. Always enjoy their banter. And there are even some great DFS fantasy football nuggets in there too.
Not today.
Show me the lie. Well, there's one in there.
Okay, so I think that will do it. Final thoughts, Davis?
Just like Adam Levitan tweeted this today, like the meme of like the dumb guy, the guy with the glasses, and then the Jedi hood of like, no, it's too obvious, or LOL, double stack Mahomes. But like, just put that in with double stack Prescott this week. Like, just do it.
Okay, Pete.
shout out to the chat. They're just shout out to all my peaceful groupies out there, a great community who I love.
It's all about the community.
This has got like I'm the one not pumping my bags. I legit did not bring
we're
up
not pumping our bags, one. Dude. Not. We believe in the project, Dave.
Stop. All right. Thanks to producer Cool Steve for producing this show. Listen, I feel like all the preparation really paid off.
I'll get in the Slack next week and read the outline. That's on
me. It was my fault too. I'm sure Tuttle's just drafting up all of his.
Tuttle's drafting up his resignation letter right now is what he's doing.
he's saying we have to get Nate from OpenSea on the show after he gets fired from OpenSea. His replacement job is going to be doing this.
Nate versus Nate. Okay. So appreciate everyone tuning in. Please leave some sort of positive review, really any review. How about all those Mancoin sales today? I hope so. As a whale, I really hope they are
popping. They are popping. There's been some hints about some future Mancoin utility, and the floor is lava right now, Dave.
I hope it doubles like the Mooncats. That will do it for the show. We'll see you next week. Week 3. Good luck in your lineups, everyone. Peace.